Wakey coasties, when the sun rises over the best place on earth, these guys are here to wake you up and get you ready for the day. Paddy and Rob Palmer for breakfast on the coast, 107.7 Triple M.
I got the tennis commentary as well last night from my wife, Kirsten.
Oh, did you? Yes.
She's bloody brilliant.
Vukic.
Vukic. Yeah.
And so she's now done the cricket.
She's look, yes. Yeah. Because Kirsten went out, she had to fly to Hobart over the break. Because her mum, there was issues there, and her mum's doing all right. But when she came back, because her mum's right into cricket, and so Kirst came back with a wealth of knowledge of cricket.
Oh, right.
And so we
did she come back with an accent as well?
A little bit.
Some people do that. Yeah, they go over to the UK for 3 weeks and come back speaking like a pop.
And she came back from Tasmania. God dang, my dang! Oh, there you picked up that Hobart accent,
ding,
darling.
Dong.
Yeah, the Tasmanian accent. And you know what? You know we're talking about the cock. They call everyone in, all the blokes call each other, we say mate, in Hobart and in Tassie, they call each other's cocks. Hey, cock, how are you?
Mate, g'day, cock.
Yeah, g'day, cock.
Yeah, that's
right. That's what they do. But hey, anyway, so I said to Kirst, throw
you should hear what the old ladies call each other in North Wales. I can't say it on air.
Well, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So Kirst came back full of knowledge with the cricket.
Brilliant.
And knowing all about the players as well, Labuschagne, Head, all of those, you know. And
you more than you anyway.
Very much so, because I'm you know, not big into cricket. But, look, I want to play you. I said to Kirst, come on, Dale, give us some cricket commentary. So I said, she said, what am I going to commentate? I said, how about Australia v England, day one of the first test, okay?
Oh, yeah.
The fifth test.
And oh, the fifth test.
Fifth test in Hobart, in Slobart. And
she was there.
She was there. And so this is how we got it on, I think this was on Fox, I should say.
Oh, Travis Head.
Ooh.
Cops it.
Oh, the head cops it.
Yeah. Shot. Cam Green, the full face. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
Got a bit of power as well.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll be his first boundary.
Oh.
Shots. Travis Head picking it up from the Gabba.
Yeah.
Okay. Slowed the guy down a bit.
It's bold and runs, though. Frustration for England.
It was all about the head there. And
So head, just hitting a few around,
yeah,
frustrating the Poms.
Yeah, so that was...
copping one here and there.
From Fox Sport. Well, this is from my wife, Kirsten, doing her commentary of the cricket.
I'm all ears.
Okay, let's have a listen.
And we're here at Australia versus England. It's the fifth test, day one. Just some of the highlights from Hobart. Oh, Travis Head cops it. Australia 4 for 86. Whack! Oh, good shot from Green. That'll be a 4. That's his first boundary. Australia 4 for 93. Whack! Another boundary from Travis Head. Australia 4 for 111. Whack!
Ooh.
Another from Travis Head. There's his fifth boundary for today. Another good hit from the head. That's a 4. That's a 50 for Travis Head.
Didn't alter the voice at all.
This is someone that didn't know that cricket balls had stitches in them until only a few weeks ago.
Jeez, I've got to tell you what, she'll be on Fox Sport before you know it.
Oh, that's it.
And she's not just covering,
I think she did a great job.
Just absolutely bloody brilliant. And
yes.
We'll get her on the tennis. We might get her doing the tennis later on this week.
Why not? Good morning, Benny from Blue Haven.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year's. How are you?
Hey, Benny. Good, mate. How are you?
Going very well.
I'm great, guys. It's a new year. It's a miserable-looking day, but you know what? I'm happy and healthy, and I can't complain.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff.
What can we do for you today, Ben?
Well, I had a bit of a moment the other day where it sort of made me realise that I'm starting to get older. So I'm 30 soon, which, you know, isn't too old for some people, but... I was at Coles and I was at the register and I was getting a price check on something and I'm just sort of looking around and I see the chockies that they have next to the register. And you've got your Mars bars, your Snickers, your Cherry Ripes, all your different chewing gums. And normally I'd go straight for the Cherry Ripe, but instead I went for the Turkish Delight, which I cannot stand.
Oh, no. Oh,
and no. I enjoyed it.
Well, That says you're getting older. I thought you were going to say something like Paddy, like he dribbled on his wife this morning accidentally.
And I went to give her a kiss, Benny, and it happened to just dribble out, and she took offence at that.
So I think selecting a Turkish delight is not the worst thing that could have happened to you.
Well, the only other person I know who enjoys a Turkish delight is my dad, and he's in his 60s, so I don't know.
The big question is, is Benny old? Want to know, 1-3-3-5-3. Thanks,
does
Benny.
Turkish delight make you an elderly?
Oh, when did you know, Palmer, when did you know you're getting old?
Oh, you know what it is when you start the old man grunt? When you get up out of a chair and you go, just to stand up. Although yesterday the kids got me yesterday, we put down a slip and slide in the backyard and Greta, my 7-year-old, just said, Dad, come on, let's do it. And I looked at it and I thought about the impact of me hitting the grass and on top of the slip and slide and I thought, no, I'm not doing that today. So I passed up a slip and slide for the first time in my life.
Is peeing on the toilet seat, is that a sign of getting old?
No, that's just a bad grub. Shot. You're just a grub.
How did you know? I was just asking for curse.
You like Turkish delight.
Mate, I do like Turkish delight. When Benny said on there, how did you know you're getting old? We'd love to know. When was the moment? And you know, the moment was for us the other day. Kirsten and I were talking to Hannah, my little girl, and we're talking about the price of lollies. And you know, I thought, oh my God, that was our parents did with me. And we did with our kids. I'm there, talking about how much you could spend and how many lollies you could get for the price.
So it wasn't when you woke up and dribbled on first your wife in the morning.
Not today. But honestly, 1-3-5-3. When was that light bulb moment? Did it hit you that you go, I am getting old? And from your mind. G'day, Deb.
Hey, Deb. Morning, boys. How you going?
Yeah, not too bad. When was that light bulb moment for you?
Well, I don't think I'm old, but the kids, my nieces and nephews said, Auntie Deb, you know, in the olden days when you were little, I said, what, when the dinosaurs roamed the earth? They went, yeah, then. I said, no, ask me, ask your own grandmother. Like, hello. I get so cranky. And another thing, Paddy, I was on the train and I fell asleep and I dribbled on the poor man beside me.
Oh, so you're saying on.
Oh,
so me
Paddy,
dribbling on my wife today isn't as bad as you dribbling on a man on the train.
Look, I was so embarrassed and I said, oh, look, I'm really sorry. And I could see it still down my mouth.
I'm embarrassing. Okay. What a complete stranger, Deb.
We want to know, when did you realise you're getting old? We've got Monica from Bensville. G'day, Mon.
Hey, Monica.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. When did you realise you're getting old?
When I turned 50 and I found grey hairs on my eyebrows.
Oh, no.
That's bad.
Oh, no.
How's the rest of your head?
No, it was fine. My eyebrows first, and then the grey hairs on my head. But the eyebrows went first. Which
the eyebrows first.
Can you dye your eyebrows?
You can, which is so good. So we're really lucky as women that we can make ourselves look pretty, prettier.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm sure you don't need any improvement, Mon, but like, you just shave them off. You shave them off entirely and just do a bit of black texture.
Well, if you shave them off, you can tattoo some on if you shave them off.
That's right. If you wax them enough, they won't grow back.
Oh, no, I don't know about that.
Well, Mon, I realise I'm getting on because I dribbled on my wife today. Is that wrong and have you had anyone dribble on you?
I haven't had anybody dribble on me apart from my beautiful granddaughter, but that's normal.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't think that's too bad. I really don't.
Thank you, Monica. Okay, I'll just let my wife know when I go home and let her
problem
know.
Problem is, Paddy just walks around everywhere with his mouth hanging open. That's why he dribbles.
Thank you,
that
Mon.
That might be a bit different.
Okay, thanks for that. We've got Paul from Berkeley Bowl. Paul, when did you realise you're getting old, just like Benny from Blue Haven?
Hey, g'day, fellas. Yeah, basically when the youngest one turned around and said, oh, she'll be the Dezo driver.
Oh, when you're the you should be the designated driver. Oh,
yeah.
Oh mate. Yeah, that's awful, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who told you? That was your son that told you, was it?
My daughter, the youngest one.
Right. The youngest one said Dad,
Dad, you should be the Dezo driver because we're going out. And,
you're too old to get on.
You let us drink. And, mate. And did you become the Dezo driver?
Yeah. Yep. Well, you've got to do the right thing, don't you?
Yeah, very
that
much
is
so.
Correct. And lead by example.
No.
Okay.
And then when your kids get to that age where they start going out, you just go, and then you think back to when you started going out, you go, God, I could tell you some stories, but I won't.
Yep. Yep, so I'll plead the fifth.
Hey, mate, we're sending you to Taronga Zoo, okay?
No worries. Thanks,
folks. It is a pleasure this morning to have him back for season 2022. Our Techspert, Trevor Long.
Trim and terrific, Trevor.
Looking absolutely sensational, Trevor Long. And he for some reason, it's not allowing me to come up. For some reason.
Operator error.
No.
Might need Trevor to help us with this.
The phone system is not working, Matty, our producer.
Oh, dear.
It is.
If you wanted to see a
shut your
a
mouth,
mature
pal.
Man in Matty, a flat.
It is actually. It is just frozen. Matty is our producer who's just raced in, and he's going to close the system now.
He's a doctor of technology.
He is
well.
Matty Lucas. He's our new producer. He plays for Avoca Rugby, and he also is with the Toowoon Bay Surf Club. And it's all been reloaded. Trevor Long is with us now. Oh. G'day, Trevy.
Wow.
You go away from everything. Failure to prepare is preparing to fail. Boys.
That's right. You've been away 4 weeks, Trev, and look at us. We've doubled.
Thank you, Matt. How are you, bud?
Paddy entirely, by the way.
Thank you.
To everyone listening.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, mate, cheers, you were busy. You were flat out. I saw you working, I think, even Christmas Eve on Channel 9. You were a busy lad.
I don't muck around. You know, if I don't do it, someone else will. That's my theory.
Exactly, Trevor. Exactly.
That's very true.
Now, I heard you talking to Luke Boner. You were with Lukey this morning on the night shift about the new Uniden dash cams, mate. Mm. And a special feature with them as well.
Yeah, look, I think the thing here is that dash cams have become much more easy to install, much better quality. And, mate, people don't realise that you can get these things now with rear cameras. And I think that, you know, the peace of mind that a dash cam offers is fantastic. So we've been playing with this Uniden one. It's got a little screen on it that doesn't show you the vision of what's happening on the road in front of you. Because what do you need to see that for? It's in the window. It shows you the speed you're going, and it gives you speed camera alerts and all that kind of stuff. Honestly, I see people driving around with dash cams, and they put them right in front of themselves, and they're like a video camera filming what's happening in front of you, showing what's happening in front of you. It's in the window. So the best ones are the ones that are hidden up at the top of the top of the windscreen, maybe even behind the mirror so you can't see it as the driver. It's there for peace of mind, folks. And dash cam, this from Uniden, the Uniden 90, iGo 90R, it's about $350, but it comes with that rear camera. So you run a cable really easy through the headliner or through the kind of the window linings, very easy to do. And you've got a rear camera as well. So someone, up behind you, wow, you've got cameras of that as well.
Trev,
what percentage of people would have a dash cam?
Man, I still think it's in the low, like 15 to 20%. I really don't think it's taken off like it could have and should have. I think because people think it's too hard to do, and it's not. And also, they just don't know why it matters. But in an accident, it's your word against theirs in so many occasions. And it's not a guarantee, but if you've got one of these dash cams, you've got a bit of vision, the insurance company is going to go, yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what happened here. That's a big help.
Hey, Trevy, with the dash cams, is it up to you to turn it on or what is the go with them?
No, so this is the great thing. People, you don't realise if you've never had one, that they plug into that 12-volt power point, the old cigarette lighter, and they turn on whenever you turn the car on, and they're constantly recording. And I mean, whenever you're driving, they are recording. And it just records over the oldest vision with the newest vision. So you've got a full memory card, full of vision. And if something does happen, it saves it and records it so that you've got it there for posterity. If something happens, see? Pull the memory card out, off you go.
You should see Gerard. It's like someone's just turned the light on.
Boom.
Yeah, I know. It's funny to see. I wish you could see it.
I turned that light on a year ago. And it's
only
just
flicking
your head now.
Can you get, just say if you're in the wrong, can you get rid of that vision?
No. Well, I mean, you don't need to tell them that you had it. If I have an accident with someone, I'm going to look in their mirror window and make sure that I know if they've got a camera.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Hey, Trev, what about Telstra? They're dangling a carrot. Is the carrot going to get people in?
Oh, I think so. They're dangling the carrot of Disney Plus. So you sign up for a Telstra home internet plan worth $95 or more, or a mobile internet plan worth $65 or more, and you get 12 months of Disney Plus. So it's a solid offer given that Disney Plus is $100-odd a year. You're basically saving that straight off the bat when you sign up with Telstra. So, look, it's just another one of those battles between the telcos trying to save customers, keep customers, and get new customers. And, mate, Disney Plus is very, very popular. All the Disney stuff, the Star Wars stuff is going big. So right now, it's not a bad time to look at Disney Plus.
Yeah. And I see a promotion for Disney Plus. It's not just you think, oh, it's only Disney movies and all that. No, it's really, they've got a whole scope of stuff.
Listen to the
Disney
king of...
Disney owns everything. Disney owns bloody everything. They've got documentaries from Nat Geo. They've got all the 20th Century Fox classics, even The Simpsons.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's not just, you know, Disney princess movies and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Paddy's still trying to pry himself off just his Netflix only and Foxtel. I've been trying to convince him to start to streamline his services.
Mate, it's my missus.
He just won't do it.
No, because she does. She wants Foxtel. And because Foxtel's so bloody dear, and that's where we could have all these other streaming services.
Paddy, here's what you've got to say. You've got to say to the missus, write down a list of all the shows you watched this week. And then at the end of the week, you work out where else those things can be found because you can save money. You can subscribe to Binge and all those shows are on there.
Exactly.
15 bucks a month. I guarantee it.
Can I get you to give her a call today, Trevi?
You don't want that, my friend.
No.
Because we'll get talking. There'll be other
things
to talk about, and by the end of the day, the locks will be changed on the house, Paddy.
Trevor Long. All right, don't bring her then. Trevor Long, our tech expert from EFTM.com.au. Good to have you back, Trevi.
See you, boys.
See you, mate.
Nice one.
You been fishing, mate?
Oh, well, I wasn't. I was down there with my girls at North Avoca, and there's this beautiful little gutter that runs along the front, and you can, like, they love swimming there just as the tide's coming. I think it was coming in, the tide, but the gutter was starting to fill up, so we'd just sort of sit in that little gutter and drift along. Now, you got to be careful, of course, because it wasn't patrolled at the time. It was after hours, so we were just down there having a little swim at the edge, and there were I must have been seen 15 people at least with rods out fishing. So it was a bit of a dodge thing, because you'd be going along the gutter, and then you'd wonder where these hooks were, because their fishing lines are out there. And you go, hey, I'm just swimming in front of a fisherman now, and I don't know where that hook is. So it was a bit nerve-wracking, but we sort of, everyone was pretty cool, and the fishermen all were like, yep, no worries, and some of them would show you that their lines are out or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we got out of the water, we're walking up, and this bloke, this is Dave from Lake Street, North of Oka. Good on you. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Dave.
He caught the biggest flathead you have ever seen in your life out of this gutter. This thing was, my dad always said that if you stand next to a bench in the kitchen where your todger is, that's bench height, right? So this was just a little bit below todger height, this flathead, from the sand all the way up.
Oh, hang on. I've just got my todger out. That's a... Well,
no, it's not. That's not very tall for you because yours hangs so low.
But listen, retracted.
What do you call it? Rantallion? You're a rantallion. But this fish is the biggest flathead I've ever seen. You know when you go to the shop and you buy a flathead fillet?
But
and it's about 80 bucks a kilo.
Yeah,
and this flathead fillet you get is about, I don't know, it's probably not even from your wrist to your elbow. That's a cubit. Yeah. Not even a cubit long. And this flathead...
What are you sounding like, you Noah? Noah building an ark.
What's what a cubit is?
Cubit?
It's the cubit. The cubit's the distance from your elbow to your wrist.
Elbow to your wrist.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same for everyone.
So that's a cubit.
Yeah, that's a cubit.
Okay.
Anyway, this fish
is that
was...
Is that now how Noah measured the ark? And then say
yes.
And then you get two people with different size arms. No wonder the ark was out of place.
It was how long's yours? 50 cubits. No, it is not.
So
the fish, it came from todger height all the way down to the sand.
Yeah.
So it's like... Yeah. Almost 900 millimetres long, just under a metre of flathead.
Yeah.
Imagine you fillet that thing. It's probably worth a couple of hundred bucks, at least.
Is our big flathead good eating, though? Can someone give us a call? 13353, would love to know.
On the Angling Action Update hotline.
Yeah, we're going to call this the Robin Tackle.
Well, Dave said, I'm not doing Christmas ham this year, stuff that. This is the Christmas dinner for everyone. So he's taken this flathead.
Yep.
He can almost barely hold it up. It was tall as my daughter Greta, who's 7.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a big fish. Anyway, if you can't catch fish and you don't want to get into that, you can just go see Rachel at Avoca Beach Seafoods. Hi, Rachel. They do very good seafood at Avoca Beach, I'm telling you now.
That was the lead in to say g'day to Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
From where?
Rachel from Avoca Beach Seafoods.
Okay.
She's really lovely.
All right. G'day, Rach. That might be the easy. That's what I do. Just go to the fish and chip shop, bugger this fishing.
No. Yeah,
but we'd love to know. We might speak to Nathan from Long Jetty.
How's it going?
Yeah, good, mate. Now, are you a flathead enthusiast?
Oh, mate, I'm the biggest flathead enthusiast. I'll go and get me potty mullet down at Long Jetty, go down the entrance. What I want to know, Bart, is did the bloke put the big flathead back?
At this point, I thought he was taking it home for his Christmas dinner.
See,
why?
He should have, because it would have been an old flathead. I agree with you, Nathan.
Well, how do you... I don't understand.
Because it's such an old fella. Let it go.
No, not that. Just the fact is that once they turn 63 centimetres, they turn into females, back into breeders, so they do.
Hang on. So male flatheads turn into female flatheads?
Yeah, up to about a 63 centimetre mark, they turn into... And then they turn into females and they're breeders, so it's best to put them back. But the best ones you want are about 40, 45, you know?
Mate,
45 centimetres.
I have never heard that
no
before.
No one has ever told me that in my life.
So,
I'm not a fisherman, though, but...
So male flatheads turn into female flatheads?
Yep, about 60, 63, 65 centimetre mark, and then they do all the breeding then, you know?
Is that common knowledge? How are you supposed to know that?
I don't know. It's just something picked up over the years fishing for flathead, I guess.
Mate, that's, well, see, that's a bit like Rob now in his 40s, and he's growing man cans. So I can see it does happen with the male species.
Coming from the man that dribbles on his wife in the morning.
That was once,
he's on
Nathan.
His way to work.
Nathan. Well, listen, further flathead updates, please give us a call back.
And, Nath, can you be our fishing correspondent, our angling action update?
Would love
man?
To, on Friday. Friday's fishing...
Friday's angling action update with Nathan from Long Jetty. Jetty.
Is that okay, Nath?
Yeah, no worries. I'll give you a call on Friday morning and let you know what's going on.
Bloody brilliant. Thanks for that,
love
Nath.
It. Good on you. Thanks, Nath.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
I am stunned.
That is, rocked my boat a little bit. How does a fish... I guess nature's a wonderful thing, Paddy.
You're looking at your man cans, yes. Oh,
got you married.
Is that true?
Of course it is. We heard it from Nathan.
I'm not doubting his.
Oh, yes, you are. I'm already thinking about talking to Sam in production about getting Nathan's own opener.
Wow. So at 62 centimetres, you're a male when you're a flathead, but then you go to 63 and...
How many inches are you around the waist?
I was going to say...
It's more than 60.
In that situation, I'd be a female.
Paddy and Rob Palmer's last calls.
Don't chat about anything whatsoever. Oh, the Triple M Big Band with Mickey D out front. He's actually on the base. Mickey D is on this today.
Is he?
133353 is the number to call. Earlier on, we spoke about flatheads, didn't we, Rob?
Yeah, absolute whopper got dragged in at North Avoca.
I need to recharge that. Mickey D's trying to take
Don't unplug him.
Yeah, we looked at flatheads. And Nathan from Long Jetty reckons that flatheads go from men to women after 62 centimetres. We've got Shane from Empire Bay. G'day, Shane-o.
Shane?
G'day, mate. Yeah, I don't know about changing sex, but I do know that if you catch a big lizard or a flathead, and it's 70 centimetres, there's a good chance it's going to be a female, and you're best off restocking the oceans for your kids, mate.
Yeah.
If everyone keeps taking the real big ones, get the photo, get the brag.
That's exactly right.
And just
right.
Put them, send them swimming, mate, otherwise we're going to run out of fish one day. And, that's just all I wanted to say. But
good
that sex
you,
thing was a bit sketchy, but,
typical one of Rob's mates, you got this big flathead. And kept
carry on.
Typical.
Get
him, Rob.
Get him. Hey,
carry
on,
doesn't he? I've seen documentaries where a male fish does turn into a female fish. It was a David Attenborough thing. It was quite interesting. However, the flatheads, it may not happen because they might just be female when they're over 63 centimetres, and it's a good shout to throw the big ones back.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for that, Shano.
No worries. And, Paddy, the first sign of getting old is dribbling on your missus and peeing on the street.
I did dribble on. I went to give her a kiss and dribbled on the forehead.
See you later, homeboy.
See you, mate. See you in the nursing home. We've got Mickey. G'day, Mickey. Hello, Mick.
Hey, Mick. How are you,
mate?
Mick.
Hey, g'day.
Yeah, mate. Now, you got a flathead update. What is it?
I was just saying, like, that the small flathead, like, even at six inches, they're full of row. They're full of eggs.
Right.
You go outside fishing, you'll catch hundreds of them.
Right.
And if you, like, you shouldn't knock a fillet off one, but I have. And they're the best flathead bait you can get.
Right.
They're cannibals.
Flathead bait.
Yeah, they're cannibals.
Who? They're cannibals.
Yeah.
So they change sex and they're cannibals. Bloody hell, geez, we're learning a lot today.
The bigger flathead love the smaller flathead fillets.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow, they eat each other.
Yep.
Okay, good chat. I won't be able to sleep tonight. Thanks for that, Mickey. Good on you, mate. Hey, and from Freddy's Fishing World, we have got the one of the owners, Justin Avendano.
Oh, the big J.A.
Big J.A. G'day, Just.
What's going on, lad?
Mate, now you work at the fishing store. We'll talk about your Big Bash League Championship and how well you went last night. But, mate, do flatheads change sex?
Look, I haven't heard of it, but I don't want to be wrong on that one, so I won't comment too much. But as far as I know, the guys are right. The big ones are normally the females, and they're the breeders, so you want to release them back.
Yeah.
The other thing is, when they get above 70, 80 centimetres, they're no good to eat anyway, so you never want to keep them. The best eating ones are the ones just above legal size at around 40 centimetres, so they're the ones to keep.
Right.
There you go. Okay. That's a good heads up. And look, I wasn't watching. I got a text from my brother-in-law, but I heard that you knocked it out of the park yesterday, mate. You had five sixes in three overs.
Yeah, I got lucky. I finally scored some runs. It's about time, to be honest. So I got the late call-up, which was nice. Jordan Silk got injured, so it was a new role for me, batting in the middle order. And, mate, I got lucky. I actually got caught on the fence, and the guy stepped in the rope, and it was six runs at one point. Like, all the things went my way.
That's not luck. You still hit the six.
Mate, you've been doing very well with the BBL. You played for the Melbourne Stars, the Sydney Sixers, and, of course, you're our local boy. You're joining us Friday, mate. Come in. Oh, you can't come in Friday, but we can do you over the phone in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, I'd love you to do me over the phone, mate. That'd be really nice. I'll be here.
All right, mate. So good to see you scoring those runs last night, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
On Saturday, I think it was. Rob, it was Saturday afternoon. I was talking to you, but on the phone when that storm came through.
Having a chat, and then all of a sudden you said to me, "Can you hear that, Rob?" And I thought, yep. And I looked up and it was almost blue sky above my head, and I could see just north of me where this dark cloud was forming. You said, "It's hailing." And it was
I got that.
A storm that never got further south than about Gosford.
Yep. Yeah, we went through Narara Copter, but so did Niagara Park. Now, one of the residents in Niagara Park, and it really whopped them there, was Colin. He joins us this morning. G'day, Cole.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, not going too bad, mate.
And you had a bit of an experience last Saturday.
Oh, mate, experience is the understatement, I feel. If you want me to start, I can tell you what happened.
Yeah, what happened?
In my
go
world.
Ahead.
Yeah.
Well, my partner, Karen, said to me, "It's going to start to rain, Colin. You need to get out and do your windows." My car was parked out in the street. So by the time I got out to the car, it was absolutely pelting down with hail. And I sort of got the car windows wound up and hopped out. And then I felt like a vacuum, a sort of sucking motion come through. And then I turned around, had a look, and everything was spinning around me. And it was quite vicious, quite hard. And you, in that situation, I just thought, oh, bugger, you know, I got rushed inside. But within about a minute, it was gone. And then I was inside because I came inside. I had my windows open in my bedroom. And it came in. My bedroom was covered with ice, with hail and leaves and everything everywhere. And I thought, oh, and then my partner, Karen, yelled out to me saying, Colin, you need to go across to Shane's house. He's just pulled up and he's run in, and I think a tree's fallen on his house. So I thought, oh, you know, as neighbours do, all the neighbours started to head across there because we could hear the yelling and stuff like that. And the top of a giant gum tree, the thing would have been probably 30 metres, has fallen down on top of the house. But the problem with that is when it come through as a channel, right, you can see in my place, you can see across his house where it's ripped the tops of the trees off and gone over my house and gone through the bush toward... it's McCain's now, and you can see where it's just taken. It's like it was a cyclone. That's the only thing I can sort of say it was. Yeah. And it took all the tops of the trees out across the other side of the road as well behind me. Anyway, unfortunately, Shane's wife, we were all meant to go out for tea because one of the ex-neighbours, because we're really neighbourly, and one of the ex-neighbours had come from Goulburn to visit us. So we were all going out to tea to see him and stuff like that. Well, Shane was at the Tawleys with the other families, And he'd rush back because he'd got a phone call. His wife was still in the house, mate, in the house. And the tree had fallen down through the house on top of her. So we, as neighbours, once we seen that Shane come tearing back, we all run over there. We had to extract her through our rear, through the front window nearest the garage because you couldn't enter the house, mate. The tree had absolutely belted the house, right? Absolutely destroyed the house. So, and she was that shocked and terrified. She didn't want to come out of the house. And anyway, one of the other neighbours was behind her and trying to get her out through the window, and she wouldn't do it. So another neighbour and I just threw our arms over us, and we dragged her out the window and took her out the front. She's got blood streaming out of her everywhere, mate. And her right eye was like a baseball. She couldn't see out of that one, and she could hardly see out of the other one. Anyway, yeah, so she got absolutely smashed. Now, luckily for them that Shane had the daughter at the where we were meeting everyone. So she wasn't in the house, but the wife was. She stayed back, right? And she got caught and trapped under the tree and things like that. But when the ambulance came, they ended up taking her off to Royal North Shore Hospital because she had blood coming out of her everywhere. She had, you know, you just don't know in those scenarios. You've got to go to the worst case scenario as we're taught in first aid. So we're, it was just a minute. It wasn't even a minute, mate, and it just wiped everything out. We've got three or four houses with tree branches through their roofs. Luckily, my house only tore a few tiles off over the garage, but on the other side of the road, we've got holes in roofs and all sorts of things. So,
Cole, now I know the wife is back home from Sydney Hospital, but the Jensen family home is totally destroyed. Mate, what is there anything you're speaking to the family? Is there anything they're chasing thereafter?
Well, look, mate, accommodation would probably be great. They're trying to find some accommodation. Like, I've got their dogs at my house, which I don't mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're a family unit. They're really tight, and they don't really have anywhere to stay. Like, they're bedding down at their dad's house, I think it is. But probably accommodation, mate, would be the priority for them at the moment.
Okay.
You know, with them, and because they're, like I said, they're a tight unit.
How many kids are there?
There's just the one daughter.
So if someone had to say a 3-bedroom home or something that was coming up for rent, because I know it'll take a long time to get this fixed. So yeah, maybe, mate, look, if we do a call out.
Well, they need something.
That'd be absolutely awesome. Because there is one of the other guys has done a fundraiser for them as well, if people could look for that, the Jensen family.
That'll be good, mate.
On a GoFund page. But, yeah, the house is done, mate. People are talking about it's going to be a knockdown, mate.
Yeah, Colin O'Malley, who is from Niagara Park, neighbours of the Jensen family. Look, support for the Jensen family, that's on the GoFundMe page. But you might have a 2 or 3-bedroom home because... as Cole said, it'll be a year, honestly, before things. It'll be a long time.
That was a dead set tornado that's just and ripped through that sole area.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're in a position to help out, then get on board because here's a young family that needs some help.
Yeah. So maybe like you might have a 2, as we said, 3-bedroom home coming up for rent because it's a difficult situation at the moment on the Central Coast. Then, of course, you've got the delays with building products as well. But, yeah, give us a call, 1-3-3-5-3. It might be in a month's time, 2 months' time, you might have something that you might be able to help out the Jensen family. Be most appreciated. Then that number to call is 1-3-3-5-3. This morning we spoke with Colin O'Malley. Now, Colin lives in Niagara Park, and he lives beside the Jensen family. And on Saturday, that wild storm ripped through Narara, but specifically areas of Niagara Park and the Jensen's family, because the tree just came through.
The family home, yeah.
The family home. Absolutely.
A dead set tornado just isolated in that one little area.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Cop it hard.
Decimated. Now, support for the Jensen family, you can get that on the GoFundMe page organised by Scott Hanley. But we have got Sharon from Narara with us this morning.
G'day, Shaz.
Oh, hello, Casual. How are you?
Yeah, Casual Farmer. Oh, mate, he's a con.
Well, let's not make up another name.
I am not calling him part-time Palmer anymore. He's got to be a casual citizen. Turns up when you feel like it.
Yeah, or I'm just working from home this week. I said to him this morning, I said, how was the commute? And what did you say, Rob? You noticed there was a floorboard creaking?
I dodged a creaky floorboard. I worked my way around it, so the traffic wasn't too bad.
Yeah, so he's an unbelievable man. But now, Shaz, you're calling, you want to help out the Jensen family?
Yes, I don't have a house for them to live in, but I'd like to give them $1,000.
Oh, Sharon.
That is sensational, Shaz.
That's okay.
You know, like, the thing is that support, and that's, you're the next suburb on. We've got Narara, the Niagara Park, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? Helping our neighbours.
That is a hugely generous offer from you, Sharon. Thank you very much on behalf of the Jensens.
That's fine, because because I live in Narara, we got absolutely smashed.
Yeah.
The hail was about the size of golf balls. It was that big.
Yeah. And you look at them, you say, there, but for the grace of God, go I. You know, it's so simple, so easily could have been another kilometre up the road.
Exactly, yes. Because I spoke to a friend who lives on the other side of the highway from us, and she thought I was on drugs because she had nothing.
That's right. It's so discriminating, isn't it? I was talking to Rob at that time when that storm was coming across. Have a listen to that. And we copped it, but nothing like what it did one suburb on at Niagara Park. So, mate, for the Jensen family, you're giving $1,000. Sharon, Narara, you're an absolute ledge.
That's all right. You have a lovely day, guys. And just tell Rob that he's casual and...
He is.
No holidays.
Yeah, Oh, no,
Sharon,
he'll hit those in.
If you had not just donated $1,000, Sharon, I'll tell you what.
Thanks, Shaz.
You know what, Paddy?
I know.
For friends of Triple M and family to bulk up the numbers, download the Listener app.
We're talking LISTNR.
Yep. And if you favourite breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer.
You are legends.
Well, yeah, that's very good of you. And you can listen anytime you like.